When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." And so the gospel. What a wonderful teaching this is in just a few short lines. The physical setting charges the message with a social commentary as the widow is positioned at the temple. One is bound to contrast her with the scribes who elsewhere are said to swallow widows' houses. The two small coins would have been of copper. They were the smallest coins in use at that time. The temple treasury is perhaps better described as the chamber of secrets, a place where the devout would place gifts for the poor in secret, and the poor would receive help also in secret. The commentary I used had the phrase, "the poor of good family." I think we have to be a bit careful about our moral assessments of the poor. This can easily become manipulative. The power of the story comes from the surprise of the poor widow who becomes the benefactor. Her status is further enhanced when, as we might expect, the rich gave out of their abundance while she gave out of her poverty. The words are literally, all the life that she had, bios, her means of subsistence. The story challenges not only our sense of generosity, but also our imagination. We, from whom very little is expected, begin to explore possibilities in which such magnanimity might find expression in our own lives. Unexpectedly, we're considering the highest form of human achievement, yes, even for me. You'd like to make a difference with your life, but you find yourself bound up with debts and responsibilities, and these keep you a prisoner of the status quo. I can never even imagine perfectly living up to all my responsibilities. And yet this woman, who's alone in life, can risk everything. It's a matter of vision, first of all. That widow realized the highest calling of a human being in spite of her limited and impossible circumstances. I think this is probably what prayer is meant to do for us, to embolden us with such visions. This year, on the week before Halloween, I was at a campus ministry in Salt Lake City, just returning from giving a mission appeal. On Monday morning, I walked out across the campus to check out the bookstore. Far across the central green, I noticed some very small children running around. They were accompanied by two adults. There were about six little children, and all of a sudden, they were running toward me. They handed me some candy and then ran back to the adults to replenish their supply. They were giving out bite-sized little bars. I had a Snickers in one hand and a Hershey's Crackle in the other when Molly approached me, and I held out both hands to indicate I already had enough candy, but she wasn't buying it. There are rules, after all, and she had to give me another bar. And so I had to accept another Snickers, and then she happily ran off to get resupplied. What a wonderful way to turn the selfish entitlement of trick-or-treat on its head. I suspect that it was a Mormon program for families, since it was Salt Lake City. Later in the day, on my return, I saw another group from the shouts of the children. I can imagine they were having a really great time. The candy made a great snack as I was waiting at the airport later in the day. But the message of the children about the joyful discovery of giving will last a whole lot longer. Can I imagine for myself such a joyful magnanimity, such a beautiful kind of freedom?